get you, God. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. He's worthy, amen?
Amen.
He's worthy. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's get over Romans chapter, First John chapter 2. So thinking about Sunday. We're continuing our series on love not the world. Love not the world. And so let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. 1 John chapter 2. And let's go to verse 15, reading down to verse 17. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Glory be to God. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. And matter of fact, let's read that together too. You can stay seated if you want. But 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15, reading out of the ESV, 3, 2, 1, and read. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, and the desires of the eyes, and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Why waste desires on things that are going to burn up and be blown away anyway? It's going to pass away. Glory be to God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's do some review on the word world. It's crucial that we do understand that. World, again, let's go here. World, again, refers to the ordered system. I'm not sure what's going on with this. Okay, so world in a summation refers to the thoughts, ideas, opinions, what's maxims? Like sayings, like proverbs, those are, like the maxims, sayings, proverbs, phrases, theories, mannerisms, speech, how the world talks, styles, speculations, whether it be clothing styles or whatever it may be, speculations, hopes, impulses, aspirations, and habits. The sum total of human life in the ordered world, considered apart and from God, alienated from God. The world is anti-God, anti-Christ. And if you want to sum it all up, refers to the values of the world, all the mores, which are customs and habits and habitual patterns of the world, the lifestyle of the world, the ethics of the world, the morals of the world, the little they are, the institutions of the world as they are established apart from and antagonistic to God. Love not that world. And we spent two Wednesdays on just that alone. To just drive home where you want to say, I want no part of that. Because the goal is to get to the saints of God to say, I want no part of that. If you understand what world is, that's why we just overdid it. Because you want to say, I want the people of God to say, I want no part of that. And to be aware when you're starting to dip into it. Like I'm starting to kind of love this a little bit. Any parts of it. That's why you need to keep these notes somewhere. You can put them on your phone, you know. Am I dipping into some of the ideas of the world? Some of the opinions of the world? Am I saying the things that the world is saying? Some of the little sayings and proverbs and things that aren't biblical. Am I agreeing with these unbiblical theories, like the theory of evolution or the Big Bang theory or the five race theory? Those are not biblical. Am I acting, looking like the world with my manners, my speech, and my style? Are those kind of sounding like the world? What about what I'm speculating in, what I'm hoping in, my impulses, my aspirations, and dreams, and habits? Are they looking like the world? What about the lifestyle, the mores and customs, habitual patterns? Are we just habitually doing what the world does without even thinking? That's what we've done for years until the Lord pointed it out. We weren't thinking twice about it. Oh, you know, that was a problem. We didn't know. The lifestyle that we live, things that we think, speak, and do, is that looking like the world? What about our ethics? Do we cheat on our taxes? Does everybody say, well, it's okay to do this? It's okay to bend the corner here and there. Okay to tell a little white lie. I don't know if it's going to a plaid line, I'm not sure what color got to do with anything, you know. But then that's one of those sayings. The morals of the world, the institutions of the world, as they are established. And here's the key thing, apart from an antagonist to God, everything in the world, it is anti-God and anti-Christ. Okay, having gone over that, let's now get into the characteristics, if you will, or the let's go get into some identities of this world, or some characteristics of this world, some facts about this world. The first thing that I want to talk about is that this world is ruled by Satan. This world is ruled by Satan. First thing is ruled by Satan. And for that, let's go to John, the Gospel of John. I mean, you know this, but now that you're seeing it in the context, you identify what the world is, habits, lifestyles, sayings, theories, even the dress and all of that, the habits, customs. Realize that all of that is ruled by Satan. So let's go to John, the 12th chapter. John, the 12th chapter. And let's go to verse 31. John, the 12th chapter, verse 31. Now, Jesus speaking, is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. So what is that telling us? That Satan's rule over this world, it will come to an end. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 4. I know you know that too. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Of Christ, who is the image of God. So the God of this world has blinded their minds. He put a veil over it so they can't see the good news. Who's done that? The God of this world. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 2. This world is ruled by Satan. Why tell us that? Because nothing will surprise you. I mean, you may be disappointed and maybe shocked for a minute, but you understand bottom line that, okay, well, anything's possible. Because Satan is the ruler of this world. He's the God of this world. You know, it's the grace of God that's not even worse than what it is now. Amen. As they would say in the old church, hello, somebody. I mean, it's going to be worse than this. You know that's going to get worse than this. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. In which you once walked, following the course of this world, so that word world, meaning you were, if we can go back up here right quick, we were following the values of the world, the mores, the customs, the habitual patterns of the world. We were following the lifestyles of the world, the ethics, the institution of the world, right? Back to Ephesians 2. Once we once followed the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now, right now, at work in the sons of disobedience. Sons and daughters, the offspring, the world of the world, the spirit of the devil is at work in folks right now. And notice what he calls them, the sons of disobedience, rebellion. Look at Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 8. Remember, Jesus told the Pharisees that in Luke 6:48, I think, that they are of their father, the devil. What does that tell you? That the devil has children. And what else does it tell you? That the devil is a father. Well, that, though the children of Satan, they are the sons of disobedience and daughters of disobedience. Does that mean the children of disobedience? What does he do? 16:8? The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. So you get out there and we would call it street smarts. We run circles around some of us. We're just not hip to what's going on. But notice though, it's the sons of this world. Ephesians 2:2, the sons of disobedience. And one more. Look at two more. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. If you're getting a little chilly, you can just close it. Everybody all right? Okay. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on and keep on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, comma, but against. Right? But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's where Satan and his cohorts, if you will, they run the entire world system. You said, well, I've heard this before. Yeah, but hear it in the context of why he commanded us, don't love the world. Because you're loving something that Satan is absolutely the god of and the ruler over. And lastly, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I'm getting a little chilly, so you can close that door if you don't mind. I appreciate it. 1 John chapter 5. Thank you, sir. Verse 19. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. So the first aspect of this world is that it is ruled by Satan. 1 John 5, 19. We know that we are from God. And the whole, and the word again, world lies in the power of the evil one. That phrase, the whole world lies in the power of, it means it belongs to him. He holds it, he controls it. And some have translated that it lies in the lap of the evil one. He's in complete control. Well, just look out, but just turn on the news for a minute. Don't go too long, because we need a Xanax to get through the rest of the news. Amen?
Amen.
It lies in the lap of the evil one. So number one is this world is ruled by Satan. The second is that this world, the world will ostracize and hate you. The world will ostracize. That means to turn their back on you, to isolate you. And turn their back on you. And they'll hate you. Who are you? Believers. Believers. The world will ostracize, turn their back on you, and hate you because you are a believer. Let's look at John, the Gospel of John, 15th chapter. And that's something, why would you love something that hates you? The Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, verse 18. The Gospel of John, 15 chapter verse 18. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. There's a lot of hate in that one verse there. If you were of the world, well, what does that mean? Well, look back up here for a moment. If you were in examining and valuing what they value and their custom and habit, habitual patterns, and you live their lifestyle, and you agree with their ethics and their morals, and you participate in their institutions that are apart from God, if you were of them, you know, and even going further up here, if you were to agree with their thoughts, their ideas, you agree with their opinions and follow their maxims and their theories, if you are of the world, he says here, he said then that the world would love you as its own. You're one of us. Because you agree with our ideas, our opinions. Verse 19. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore, or as a result, the world hates you. Does that make sense? Because you don't agree with their thoughts, you don't agree with their ideas, opinions, maxims, theories, mannerisms. You don't, you understand that the world is anti-God and anti-Christ. You don't agree to their values and mores and habitual patterns and customs. And so therefore the world will ostracize, turn their back on you, isolate you, and hate you. Look at, let's look at the next characteristic of the world. The world does not know you, will not know you. Why? Because it didn't know our Lord and Savior. So it's not going to know you. Meaning it's not going to agree with you. It's not going to agree with you because it didn't agree with him. The world will not know you because it did not know him. Okay? Look at 1 John chapter 3. The world will not know you because it did not know him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and look at verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So when you think about trying to get some camaraderie and buddy-buddy and some acceptance in the world, and you are a real legitimate, genuine Christian, it's not going to happen. They will turn their back on you. They will isolate you. They will set you off in a corner. You should see, if I don't know how well folks are following the religious liberties being chipped away at in a mighty way right now. That's exactly what is happening. You know, where Christians aren't even being allowed to even express what they believe. And so that time is coming where we're really seeing what the Lord Jesus Christ said, that it's going to hate you because it didn't know me. Look at the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, verse 1. The Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, verse 1. The world does not know us because it did not know him. Look at verse 1. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. Because the press is going to be real great and it's going to cause you to, like, hey, I'm giving in. I'm not getting done with this. So he's telling me these things ahead of time. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think they are offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. That's why the world is treating Christians the way they are treating them. And it's getting worse and worse. Because they didn't know Christ Jesus and they don't know God the Father. He says, so whoever kills you will think they're doing God's service. Well, why is that? Because the ruler of this world is going to deceive them into thinking. And murdering God's people is for God or service to God. Let's go to the next chapter, verse 17. Verse 25. Chapter 17, I'm sorry. The very next chapter, 17, verse 25. Jesus is praying his high priestly prayer. Verse 25. He says, "Oh, righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me, but the world does not know you. And because we are of God, and as we're learning on Sunday, we've been united with him, guess what? They didn't know him, they're not going to know us." Look at 1 Corinthians, one more. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And it reads, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God." Why? "Because they are foolishness to him. And he," who is he? "The natural person is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." Why did I go to that verse? Because that's why it is an impossibility for the sinner to know God the Father or his Son Jesus Christ. Why? Because they have to know him spiritually. And their spirits are dead. And that's why it says here, he says that they are spiritually discerned and therefore they are not able to understand them. So they're not able to understand you because you are God. Does that make sense? All right, let's go to the next characteristic. So we've covered three. This world is ruled by Satan. It hates us, doesn't know us. Let's look at the next characteristic. Friendship with the world is an hostile act towards God. I'm going to say that again. Friendship with the world is an hostile act towards God. We don't want any part of that. Friendship with the world is an hostile act towards God. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 4. Friendship with the world is a hostile act towards God. We read it in our reading, reading today. "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." We're going to land on this verse just for a moment. Take a nosedive here. Because that's quite a strong statement that friendship with the world is a hostile act toward God. Well, that's what the Lord God said here. He called them adulterous people. He kicked that off by calling them adulterous people. You adulterous people. And the idea is that we have, the Christian has in effect broken their marriage covenant with God by loving the world more than God. Remember, Ephesians pictures our believer, the believer, relationship with Christ Jesus as Christ being our what? Husband. And we are his bride. So the picture of heaven's relationship with the people of God is that of marriage. Jesus is the husband, we're his wife, the bride. So when we step out and start loving the world more, he calls that you've committed, spiritually speaking, spiritual adultery. So you're loving the world more than me, says the Lord, and so you've broken your marriage covenant with me. Then he tells them, do you not know the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Look at 2 Corinthians for a moment. Keep a marker there. And slide over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. I think I'm telling you right. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and look at verse 2. Verse 1, I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me. For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I have betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. That's what we are, presented to him. And when we go out and start loving the world, you see what I'm saying? That's spiritual adultery. I have brought you to Christ for him to be your husband, and you are kicking him to the curb for the things of the world. Go back to James. And verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 11 says, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Notice he says your thoughts, because that's where it begins. That's where the adultery begins to happen. Between the years, you started seeing something. Let's go back up here. Maybe you started agreeing with some of the opinions or some of the ideas and opinions or some of the theories or mannerisms. Maybe before you knew it, you was agreeing with some of these things. And then all of a sudden, you know, next thing you know, your customs and habitual patterns began to slide into that of the world before you know, because he deceived. Remember, he's the most subtle piece of the field. So you got to be so careful, because before you know it, you're asking the question, how did I get here? How did this happen? But it happened here. Paul said, I'm afraid, because just as he deceived Eve, your thoughts are going to cause you to walk away from the things of God. And here in James, they did walk away because he called them adulterous people. Now let's keep reading. If you're back in James 4:4, adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is an enemy of God? Friendship with the world. Let's take a look at that word. Friendship with the world is a hostile act towards God. The word is philia, P-H-I-L-I-A. P-H-I-L-I-A. Philia. What does that sound like? Philadelphia. And so, let's get Greek on it. Philia is love, and what is Philadelphia called? Right. And the name of our men's group is Adelphos, which is brother. So, Philadelphia, brotherly love. That's where that comes from. So, philia, friendship, means to love in the sense of having a, strong emotional attachment to or affection for in this case, the world. Strong emotional attachment to, strong affection for the world. When he says friendship, he's speaking of not to something light. Because after all, the result is it's a hostile act to God. So this word, that's why I want to take my time to land on this word, friendship. It's not just something light. It's a strong emotional attachment to and affection for the world. This affection is not casual, but implies a deep and intimate longing to be involved with the world. That's not good. No wonder he said, you adulteresses. No wonder he said that. Because of the fact that you're adulterous people. Because you are stepping out on God. You're stepping out on God. Deep, intimate longing to be involved with the world. It is a falling in love with the world. Again, it's not referring to a time when believers fall into sin or error due to spiritual weakness, which we do have that happen. It's an habit to a believer. He is referring to a settled affection, a strong attraction, an intimate relationship. That sounds like a husband and a wife. And all of those kind of words are like, that's not a light word. What you've done, good people of God, is you've gotten a new husband. You are committing spiritual adultery because you've fallen for the world. Intimate relationship with the world. So now when you see this word, don't you know that friendship with the world, that having a strong emotional attachment to the world, or having strong affection and deep and intimate longing to be involved with the world is certainly, you see why it is enmity with God, hostile to the world, you can see that. Because you have fallen deeply in love, with that which is anti-God and anti-Christ. And it hates God. And why does it care? As a result, hates you. Doesn't know God, and as a result, doesn't know you. And yet you've fallen in love with it, and it hates you. And do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Hostile. It's a hostile act to God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the word wishes, Budamai, let me see if I can put that up there. Whoever wishes to be the word bulimai connotes more than just wanting a desire or wish to be fulfilled. It carries a stronger idea of choosing one thing over another. You made a choice, a conscious choice. Well, doesn't that fit the rest of the verse? Because the rest of the verse says, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself. Yeah, because you made that choice. When you made that choice to choose the world over God, you just made yourself an enemy of God. Don't just even blame anybody else. You made yourself an enemy of God. Makes himself. means to appoint, to make or ordain. Also in the day, it indicated conscious intent, meaning you weren't caught up in it. You saw it and said, I'm going to do that. Doesn't that sound like David on the roof of his house? Excuse me, not David. But David, King David, on the roof of his home, saw Bathsheba, go get her. That's conscious intent. It's not something you can choose on and try to slip up in. No, you saw it and like, I want that. Then they went to Samson. Samson sees a girl who is not by the command of God. You're not supposed to marry to those folks that tried. Those folks. Because they were godless. Not because of any racial or ethnic custom. No, not because they were godless. But he saw her. And he ignored the reminders of his parents about what God had said about going over to that group and marrying. And he says to them, I want her because she is right in my eyes. Not God's eyes. My eyes. Conscious intent. He appointed and made himself on purpose. He said, I'm going to do this. Forget what y'all saying. I want her because she's right in my eyes. That's why I'm showing these are key words. Bulimai again is to choose one over the other. To choose one over the other, one thing over the other. And then here it is a conscious intent to do this. So you can see why all of these words, you see in the Greek, they carry a lot of weight. No wonder when you do all of that, you consciously choose. You're choosing on purpose one over the other, and you have a strong emotional attachment and an affection for a deep and intimate longing to be involved with the world. And then you go ahead and choose the world over God, and you do this with a conscious intent. See how that flows all the way down? Then what happens? He says, you make himself an enemy of God. You did that. Nobody else to blame. But yourself. You make yourself an enemy of God. And that word here is ekthros. Ekthros is actively hostile. Is strongly opposed to God. That's what that word enemy means. You're actively hostile to God. And it's all on purpose. That we're about to close. I'm going to go through the progression again. So remember, we've gone over 3, 4 aspects of the world. One, it is ruled by Satan. He's the god of this world, the ruler of the power of this air. Two, the world will ostracize, isolate, turn their back on, and hate you. The world does not know you because it did not know the one who you've been born of. Does that make sense? They didn't know God, they can't know you. And then friendship with the world is a hostile act toward God. Friendship again, philia, to love in the sense of having a strong emotional attachment. So, again, here goes the progression. We're going to close. You see it. Remember, the artist, we're going to get into those three things. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride and possession. We're going to get into that. You see something, or you think something. Whatever it is, you have it causes you to have a strong emotional attachment strong affection for the world and things of the world. Then in that, there's a deep and intimate longing to be involved with that. You see that part? Deep, intimate longing. You act on that longing. You act on that longing. And you choose the world over God. So you have this longing. You have this longing. And then you make a move on that longing. You choose. Sound like Eve. Then when you choose, you did it with conscious intent. So you see the progression. You long for it. Then you chose over God, and you did it knowing full well. You were conscious intent. You weren't tricked into it. And then as a result, that act of choosing consciously puts you in the area of being actively hostile to God and strongly opposed to God. It's all us, Mr. Clyde. There's nobody else to blame. You want to find the enemy? Look in the mirror. You'll find the enemy is. This is serious stuff, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It's very disturbing. And people can walk away from it. Have you, those of you who've been here on Sunday, I mean, that series on you don't have to sin and what he's done for us in Romans 6. My Lord, counting us united with him, that Christ's Calvary is our Calvary. Because when we were united in a death like his, we were also united in a resurrection like his. He suffered for our sins on the cross and was raised for our justification. Hallelujah. And you turn around and go back into this? That's crazy. Got my voice going up in this. Get to hear that. Man, when you learn who you really are, you need to study supreme identity for years. You really need to study that series. Who we are, first and foremost. You're like, man, I don't have a right to join in on any of this right here, any of these maxims and ideas. No. I need to know that they're not of God and then actively rebuke it. Not, slow down, boys. Well, you know, I'm not in the case of rape. No. Understand it. God gives life. Like I said it a lot of times. He chose to give it in the midst of a rape. Why? Got to get at God about that. He did it. That's his creation. You can't, you have no right going in there undoing what God has created. Because God is the only one who gives life. You can't kowtow to any of these theories and ideas and speculations or none of the mores and customs of the world. Or the ethics or lack thereof, or the moral lack thereof. When you give in to those things, you kind of, you know, love is all kinds of, so if a girl love a girl, man, you know, it's nothing but love. So you're giving in to this. And when you do that, realize what you're getting into. Longing for the world, agreeing with things in the world that is anti-God and anti-Christ. And you're making a conscious decision when you do that. You're saying, well, I agree with folks when they say this about this. No. Do you want to be in this category? Ekthos, where you are actively, look at that word, actively hostile to God. Where you are strongly opposed to God, the one who saved you and redeemed you? Rethink that. Father, God Almighty, not being overly dramatic, but really begging you to show us if we have any sort of blank that don't love, friendship, any toward the things of this world that is anti-you, anti speech and our actions.